And we're holding on Lamed Amud Bey's six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the whole machloikus of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha and the Chachamim regarding whether the two Edom need to see the same thing at the same time. So now let's talk about other possible contradictions that there might be between the Edom's testimony and when we accept it and when not. Now, we need to know, for this purpose, we're going to discuss more extensively in the fourth and fifth parak of our Masechta, we're going to talk about, you have chakiros and you have bedikos. When Edom are brought in, they have to do those chakiros, which is where they're going to ask them certain basic questions to establish the time and place of when the thing happened. Then you have the bedikos, which are going to be where they're going to ask them all kinds of other questions about side things. So say, for example, Edom are coming to Beis Din to testify that, let's use examples from our Gemara over here. Let's say Edom are coming and testifying that Reuven lent Shimon money. So chakiros would include things like what was the exact date and time and place where that took place, because we need those for Hazama. If other Edom are going to come and say Monu HaYisim, then we need to know what they're saying, what they're saying, where they were at the time. Then you have the dikas, might be, for example, was it upstairs or downstairs, or were they wearing white clothing or black clothing or whatever, those kinds of things, whether they're wearing white clothing or not, whether they're upstairs or not, it doesn't really matter as far as the fact that he lent him $100, but nevertheless, you still have, those are details that we can see whether they match up between the testimonies. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Edus hamat cheshes zuas zu bebedikos, when Edom contradict one another in bedikos, those secondary kind of questions, ksheira bedinim mominus, then when it comes to dinim mominus, such Edus would be kosher. So if they're going to say that, if one of them is going to say that it was on Sunday in New York, and the other one is going to say that it was on Monday in California, then that's not going to work. But those are chakiros. But we're saying if they're both agreeing that it was on Sunday in New York, but one is saying that the lawyer was wearing a green shirt, and the other one is saying that the lawyer was wearing a white shirt, that's not going to be contradictory. So, Amar Rava Mistabra Milsa Did Rabbi Yehuda the Eid Echad Oimer Ba'Arniki the Eid Echad Oimer Ba'Arniki Shchora the Echad Oimer Ba'Arniki Levana. It's logical to accept that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about, let's say they're disagreeing what the color of the purse was that he gave him the money. So they both agree that Reuven gave Shimon $100 as a loan, but one aide says that it was a black purse and the other one says that it was a white purse. But continues Rava, if it were to be that they argue about the actual color of the coins, if one of them says that it was black coins, meaning that they've been blackened with time over time, you know, coins tarnish, so they become darker. So if one of them says it was older coins and the other one says no, it was new shiny coins, then Rava says, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't say that you could combine them, because then that has to do with the main Edus itself, not with a side thing. It's true, technically, that is part of the bedikus, because the chakiris, again, are what are needed to establish whether it's an edus that you can be mazin. Nevertheless, Rava says, even among the bedikus, obviously there are going to be bedikus that have to directly do with the action that took place, and how could you accept this edus when they're contradicting one another on that?
So the logic is between the coin and the purse is that one is significant?
Yeah, basically. Because the purse itself, he's not lending him the purse, he's lending him the money in it. But when it comes to the coins themselves, then yeah. So the Gemara asks, the Auniki Shchora Bedinin Afoshes Loi. So you're telling me then that if they contradict one another, let's say on the color of the purse, you're telling me that an equivalent kind of thing in Dinin Afoshes would not work. Didn't Rav Chista say that even when it comes to dinin afoshes, echad oimer b'sayef hogoy ve'echad oimer b'ariron hogoy, if one of them says that if one of the edim says about whether they're coming to testify that Pliny killed Pliny, if one of them says he killed him with a sword and the other one says he killed him with an ariron, Rashi translates ariron with a French word that means a battle axe. The Aruch brings that explanation, but he brings another possibility that it might be a scalpel, a small knife. Whatever the case, the point is, ein zen nochein, then that's not, that edus is not matching up. The pasuk says, v'hine emes nochein adover, In modern Hebrew, they use the word nachon, whatever, to mean correct. But in classical Lashon Kodesh, it means, maybe when it says by the Edom, behine emes nachon adover, means matching up. So then this is not a matching edus, and therefore we can't convict the person based on such an edus, because that kind of thing, again, has to do with the actual action itself that they're saying, even though they're both saying they killed him, but that he killed him, but nevertheless, they're saying it was a different weapon. On the other hand, echad erma kelev shchurim ve'echad erma kelev levonim, but if one says he was wearing white clothes and the other says he was wearing black clothes, hadeh zeh nochoin, then that edus can still be considered nochoin, because the fact that they contradict each other on a minor detail like that, then that doesn't matter. The Yad Ramah points out, anyways, in particular, the reason why it's so important to know what the weapon was is because, in general, Beis Din has to evaluate. We're going to talk about this later in the Masechta in more detail. The weapon has to be brought to Beis Din, and Beis Din has to evaluate, was this weapon capable of killing? So fine, in the case of a sword, obviously it is. But let's say, for example, they're arguing about he threw a rock at him. We need to take the rock and see, is it big enough to actually kill a person when thrown from a particular distance, and so forth. So here Rav Chiska is telling us that they can contradict each other on minor details like that, whereas Rav Yehuda is saying that not. Well, the Gemara answer is, as it's done a few times already in this Perek, Gavra Gavra Karamis, or you bring a contradiction from one person to another. Rav Chiska holds that they can contradict each other on such things, even in Dinin Nefashis. Rav Yehuda holds Dinin Mamanus, yes, Dinin Nefashis loy, Dinin Nefashis not. All right. The Gemara continues. Now, Dori Amri, the Chacham of Nahadra, said no. Afilu echad omer mona shachar veechad omer mona lavan mitstarfim. No, actually, it would combine together even if they disagree about the color and the condition of the coins. And Nahadra say even though that's about the coins themselves that were transferred from hand to hand, then nevertheless it's good enough and they can combine. The Gemara says, come on, well, who was that like? Could Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha? Now, you're going to say that that's like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha. It certainly can't go according to the Chachamim who disagree with him, because they said that even if the Edim didn't see each other at the time of the Edus, it wouldn't be good. We said that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha had said, for example, that one of them can be saying, I saw alone on Sunday, and the other one says, I saw alone on Monday. And the Chacham say, never mind, you don't have an Edus over here. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha says that you do. Fine, but even Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, Emer d'shamet le Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha, heichad lemachre she'adadi. You know what? Fine. He's talking about where they're not contradicting each other. When the one says there was alone on Sunday, he's not saying, and there wasn't one on Monday. He's saying, I was there on Sunday and I saw him lending him money. And the other one says, I was there on Monday and I saw him lending him money. They're not contradicting each other. Who says that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha would say the same thing when they're actually contradicting each other about the color of the coins? You're going to say that we accept it because it's after all the same halva, but is it necessarily when they're, and the Binyan Shloimeh in fact says that, listen, you know, the Nahadori are referring back to what Rav Yehuda had just said. Rav Yehuda had said that where they're contradicting one another on the coins and we don't believe them, and the Nahadori, or not we don't believe them, but we can't accept their edus, and the Nahadori are saying that we can. So obviously the Nahadori are not talking about a case where they're not contradicting each other and one says, I saw a loan of shiny coins, and the other one says, I saw a loan of black coins. It has to be that they're actually contradicting each other. It specifically wasn't black coins. It specifically, I paid attention and noticed that they were shiny, and so forth. Would even Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korcha say that you can accept such edus? Ella, who do Omer ki haitana? Rather, we have to say that the Nahadori, who means he, so it should really be him, but whatever. Well, so actually, the Rashash points out, earlier in the Masechta, we learned that whenever it says Nahadori, unspecified, it usually means Rav Chama, who was the Rosh Hashiva, and Nahadah, well, that justifies the word who over here, because it really is referring to one Chacham, even though we're referring to him in the plural. Anyway, so Huda Omer Ki Hai Tana. So then when he's saying that it's acceptable, is because he's following another, is because he's following the following Tana. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Allah, Omer Rav Shimon Allah, L'nechaku bes Shammai bes Hillel al shtei kitei edim, bes Shammai and bes Hillel do not disagree when you have two different groups of Edim. Sha'achas emeres masayim va'achas emeres mona. One says that Reuven lent Shimon 200 zuz, and the other one says he lent him 100 zuz. Then we say sheyesh b'chlam masayim mona. 200 definitely includes 100, so we don't have to say. Rashi says that we don't have to say that they're contradicting each other and they're both lying. Rather, we can say at least the one who says 200 is definitely agreeing that he lent him 100. So therefore, they're both agreeing to 100. Amanachluku al kat achas. The machlokas, the shama v'silo, would be when it's one group. Two edim, where one of them says it was 100 and the other one says it was 200. Shabbat Shama Emim Nechelka Edusan. The Shama says at that point the Edus has been divided. One of them is evidently lying and therefore you don't have an Edus. Or Basil Emim Yesh Vachlam Osayim Mona. And Basil says even then you can say that 200 includes 100. Tosfos asks actually that so now let's consider then according to Beis Shammai we're saying that nechloka idusan then how does it help when there are two sets of edim? In effect it's the equivalent of one of them was found to be a kor of apostle. It's still, why is Beis Shammai holding that you have a valid edus? Tosfos discusses a couple of reasons why that might work. When they all come to Tokedei Dibur, then it's all considered one group. But here they're talking two separate groups. So therefore, just because one of them becomes pasul, doesn't pasul the veracity, the validity of the other group. And also Tosfos points out, it's one thing for, in other words, like this. We would say like this. No, it's not Eidus Shati Shi after Yochel Azima, because they're both agreeing to the time and place. They're disagreeing on the amount. But in any case, Tosfos is saying, it's one thing, for example, if all four Edim came together as one group, then we might say, well, now that turns out that some of them are evidently not telling the truth, because it was either 100 or 200, it can't be both. The most you could say is Yesh V'chlam Osayim Mona, then maybe we should say we'd throw out the whole Eidus. But Tosfos says, for a number of reasons, among other things, that they're not coming as all one group. They're coming as separate groups. They're not saying b'toch kedei dibur of one another or anything like that. They're two completely separate groups. And therefore, if one of them turns out to be untrue, it doesn't impinge on the other ones. Also, Tosfos says, a related point is that when they're separate groups, that the soul of one might affect the other, but that's where they're both testifying to the same thing. Here, the whole point is they're contradicting one another. So therefore, you can't say just because one of them turns out to be, because we know that one of them is not true, therefore automatically the other one is not true, it doesn't work that way. Again, if they were contradicting one another in a way where there's no way to reconcile them, then fine, we have, as the Gemara often says, uki tre l'vahadi tre, you put two against two, and we leave the moment where it is, because we don't have an edus here at all. But here, Beis Shammai agrees, listen, yesh v'chlam osayim mona, they do agree on the fundamental point that he owes him at least 100, so therefore, yeah. And they're still saying even when it's within one edus itself. So therefore, when the Nahadori are saying that even when they contradict one another on the color of the coins, then following that braisa, following Rav Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of the machlokas v'shama v'shilo, then it would work. The same way as it works when one says 100 and the other says 200, the same way it can work even when one says the coins were dark and the other one says the coins were shiny, because at least they both agree that he on the basic fact that he owes him X amount of money. A similar case, the Gemara says, Echad Oymer Chovis Shol Yayin VeEchad Oymer Chovis Shol Shemen. What about if there's an argument between two people? What about if there's an argument between the two Edim? One says that Reuven lent Shimon a barrel of wine and the other one says he lent him a barrel of oil. Hava Uvda, so such a case happened, V'Osel Chamed Rab Ami, it was brought to Rab Ami, Chayve Rab Ami, V'Shalom Lech Chavisa De Chamra, Migoy Chavisa De Mishra. Rab Ami required him to pay the value of a barrel of wine out of a barrel of oil, meaning, in other words, wine costs less than oil, so he would say that, so therefore, he made him pay the lesser amount. So the Gemara says, "Kaman k'Rav Shimon Elazar." What are you going? You're saying that Rav Ami went in that according to Rav Shimon Elazar. Emo d'Amar Rav Shimon Elazar heicha diyesh v'chlam osayim mona. You know, even Rav Shimon Elazar is only talking about where you could say, "Listen, money is money. 200 includes 100." Ki hai gavna mi'Amar. Would he say if something? Would he say in a case like this, wine doesn't include oil, and oil doesn't include wine? And the answer is like Tzricha L'Dami. And the answer is Rav Ami, the Chiddush of what Rav Ami is saying is we're talking about the value. In other words, they're not arguing about the actual barrel itself. One aide says, for example, that in my presence he was moida that he owes him the value of a barrel of wine. And the other one says, in my presence he was moida that he owes the value of a barrel of oil. So therefore, it's exactly like 200 versus 100, where values, once you reduce it to money, it's the same thing. It's the same money in both cases. And therefore he could make him chayiv to pay the lesser amount following Rav Shimon Elazar's understanding of the machlokas v'shama v'silul. Tosfos, by the way, points out even Rav Yehuda might not necessarily disagree with Rav Shimon Elazar's presentation of the machlokas. When Rav Yehuda had said that when it comes to black versus white coins, then we can't accept their eders, he might agree that if it was a matter of 200 versus 100, we could accept because yesh b'chlam osayim mana. He just says that when it comes to black coins versus white coins, that's too much of a difference, too much of a discrepancy to accept their eders. Whereas with Nahudoi, Rav Choma are going to say even then it still fits within what Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, because fundamentally they're both testifying that he owes him 100. So there would just be a difference. In other words, to what extent are we going to say, after all, it is the same thing, and to what extent not? Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, once we get to the actual condition of the coins themselves, that's too much, that we can't combine together such an aders. But whereas Rav Shimon Elazar would say that we could do that even then. Another case. What if the two edim, one of them says that the loan or the hoidah or whatever took place on the upper floor, and the other one says it was on the bottom floor? So Rav Chanina says that a case like that was actually brought to Rebbe, but Siddus Edusan, and he combined together their Edus. So even though this is another case of where they're contradicting one another on Bidikus. Actually, to be exact, by the way, Rashi says that a Dziyuta is more like it is a second floor, but it's more like an overhang second floor. Normally, a second floor is built directly on top of the first one. A Dziyuta would be more like where that's like sticking out like a porch kind of thing, and people, Rashi describes, the Bnei Rosh Hashanah walk underneath it. So, yeah, sometimes you see buildings like that they have of a section that's built hanging over. That kind of thing is called Dyuta Halyona. Anyway, so Rebbe accepted the two ages together, meaning following Rabbi Shua ben Kircha, even though they had contradicted one another on the Bedikas, because one says it was upstairs and one says that it was downstairs, then nevertheless it still works. So Rashi mentions the point that even though they contradicted one another in Bedikas, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Tana on Al Masechta explains that actually Rashi is saying that Rebbe accepted it, even though we have to combine together two opinions. We're saying, in other words, that Rabbi Shua ben Kircha had said they can be testifying. One says it was on Sunday, and the other one says that it was on Monday. And Rabbi Shua ben Kircha accepts that. And Rav Yehuda had also said that as long as they don't contradict each other on the actual loan itself, on the black coins versus white coins, then it's acceptable. So in other words, Rebbe is combining together those two opinions to say that nevertheless he has to pay him the money. So, with that said, what we're saying is we're taking Rabbi Shua ben Kircha's point that they can be saying Eidos even about different days, even though we wouldn't say, in other words, that the money that he says he lent him on Sunday is obviously not the same one he lent him on Monday, and therefore we shouldn't combine them. And Rabbi Shua ben Kircha says we can still combine it because fundamentally they're both saying that he owes him a money. And Rabbi Yehuda had gone on and said the same thing when they're contradicting one another on Bedikas. So here, we're one saying it was upstairs and one was saying, one says it was downstairs, and nevertheless we're combining it. So in other words, the Sanhedrin Tana explains that that's actually what the chiddush of what Rebbe did over here is to combine together these two different things, and nevertheless we're still saying that it still works. It wasn't at the same place and everything, and nevertheless we're still saying it. Fine. All right. The Gemara goes on. Now, the Mishnah had said, we said that how do we know once the Dayanim are leaving the Beis Din Shtibul after the Din Torah, we said one of the Dayanim is not allowed to say to one of the Bali Dinim, you know what, I would have been in your favor, but I can't help it because I was outvoted. We said, how do we know that you shouldn't do that? Because it said, let's say, lech rochel ba'amecha, and ho lech rochel megalasoid. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, we learn in a Braisa. Minayin lech sheyetze, how do we know that when the Dayan is leaving, shelo yoymar, that he shouldn't lo yoymar, he shouldn't say, hareini mezaka v'chaveri mechayvin, you know, I would have declared you innocent and not having to pay. My colleagues are the ones who said that you're guilty. Avo ma'ese shechaveri rabu alai, what can I do because my colleagues they overmatched me and I was outvoted. Tamad loymar, therefore the pasuk says, v'yisei lech rochel ba'amecha, don't go as a talebearer, as a ba'al lashon hara among your people, v'yimahoy lech rochel megal asod, and the pasuk says a person, a rochel, a talebearer, a ba'al lashon hara, is somebody who tells a secret.
Repeat, we learned this.
We learned this in the mission, actually. Oh. So actually, that a number of Mephoshim say, that the Mishnah did not have the first pasuk loyselach rochel. It had only the second pasuk holach rochel megalasoy. Otherwise, yeah, there's no chiddush in bringing the brayza. So the Gemara tells, Ahu Talmidah, there was a certain Talmud, he wasn't an actual member of the Beis Din, but he was a Talmud sitting in front of them while they were judging. The Nafika Le Kola, the Gali Milsa, there were rumors, statements going around about him that he had revealed something to Itma Beis Medrasha that had been said in the Beis Medrash, Basir Esther Matout and Shnin, after 22 years. So the Din Torah had been judged, or whatever the case had been discussed in the Beis Medrash, 22 years later, the guy went and blabbed it to some other people. Rab Ami didn't mean Medrasha. Rab Ami expelled him from the Beit Medrash. The Omar, and he said, Dame Gali Razia, this guy is a Megalos Soid. We can't have such a person in the Beit Medrash.
So many years later,
but nevertheless, Rashi says it was a matter of Lashon Hara. So it doesn't matter. There's no statute of limitations on it, even though it was all those years later. Nevertheless, Rav Ami said that a person doesn't belong in our Beis Medrash. It's sensitive information, basically.
Whether it was I was the one who voted or whatever it is.
It actually just says it was a matter of Lashon Hara. It didn't even necessarily have to do with a Din Torah at all. It could have been something where they're discussing a case in the Beis Medrash. Or something happened in the Beis Medrash or whatever. Yeah.
He says, obviously.
All right. Mishnah says, Kozman Shemevi Raya. Now, let's say, so you had a Din Torah, and people are supposed to be bringing their Eidos, or their Shtoros, or other Rayas, so one way or the other. Kozman Shemevi Raya, as long as one of the Balei Dinim can bring a proof, then he can have the case, he can have the decision revoked and rejudged. Meaning, Rashi describes, let's say he comes to Beis Din. He doesn't have the Shtar with him, so Beis Din says, look, no Shtar, no proof, so therefore you're Chayiv. Then later on, he goes and finds the shtar, and he brings it to Beis Din, and then he can have the case reopened. We don't say the decision is final, and that's that. We say now he has new evidence, and therefore we can rejudge the case. Omruloi. Now, what happens if the Beis Din tells him to begin with? Kol rayas sheyesh lecha, hovin mekanad shloshim yom. They give him a deadline. They tell him any rayas that you have, bring them within the next 30 days, and if not, then the verdict is final. So if he finds any of that evidence during the 30 days, then good, then we're good. So then he can undo the psakin because they themselves said that it's pending for 30 days. But if it's after 30 days, then he can't undo it anymore because they told him 30 days and that's it. He missed the deadline. On the other hand, Amr of Shimon Gamliel, says, no, Ma Yasa Zeshle, Motsa Vasek Shloshim, or Motsa Lacha Shloshim. What can the poor guy do? He looked for it within the 30 days, he couldn't find it. The fact is, he has a perfectly valid shtar right now. Why should we disqualify that shtar just because he couldn't find it in time? Just because his file cabinet isn't organized, let's say. What?
Because of a due date.
Yeah, because of a due date. So let's say, you know, he's a disorganized kind of guy, and he doesn't have his files in a neat order. You can't say, yeah. Okay. What about another case? What if the Beis Din tells the person, listen, you know, you're claiming such and such, bring Edim. The Omar Ainli Edim. He says, I don't have any. Omar Hove Raya. Beis Din tells them, bring a proof. And he says, I don't have a proof. Later on, he finds the proof, he finds the shtar or whatever, and he finds that there were Edim after all. Ha Reza Ene Klum. The Tanakhama said, then that's no good. That doesn't count for anything, since he said to begin with, I have no shtar, I have no edim. In the first case, he's saying, I have a shtar, I just can't find it right now. Wow. In the second case, he's saying, I don't even have a, shtar, or I don't even have edim, so even if he brings them afterwards, then we can't do anything. And in fact, the Rashash points out, the Loshen in the Mishnah over here is, the expression in the Mishnah is Reza Ene Klum, it doesn't count for anything. Sorry, I missed a line over here. Later on, he found a raya or he brought Adim. Reza Ene Klum, that doesn't count for anything. Right. Now, before we use the expression in the Mishnah, Soyser Sadin or Ene Soyser Sadin. Here we use the stronger expression, Hareza Ene Klum, meaning, in other words, that Ashash says, what it means is, at this point, even if he does bring that Shtar or those Adim to base him, we're not even going to accept him, says the Tanakhama. Because he, to begin with, said, I don't have any. So what all of a sudden? He's coming and bringing them. We have to be concerned that it's a forged Shtar or false Adim.
Adim could be there's a bunch of people there. He didn't know if they heard it or not.
Okay, nonetheless.
When the case gets publicized,
nonetheless, then the Tanakhama holds. He should have said, I don't know whether there were Edom over there. When he says flat out, there were no Edom, means yes. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says sort of like what you're saying. What can the poor guy do? He didn't know that there were Edom, and it turns out that there were Edom. He didn't know he has a Raya. He didn't know he has a Shtar, and it turns out he has one after all. Therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that we should still accept those.
Ellie, basically, if you say the truth, you're in default.
You're being held responsible.
Yeah.
Let the other guy know that.
Yeah. Okay. Rosh Mishchaya Badin, what about another possible case? Suppose the guy sees that he's losing the case, Va'omar, and he says, Kirvu Ploini or Ploini V'Yehuduni. He says, hey, Ploini and Ploini, come over here and give Avis for me. Or he pulls out a raya, he pulls out a shtar from his pundosai. Pundosai has a couple of different meanings. Rashi explains it means over here a belt. The Rambam in some other places, the word afundose, it's called afundose in other places in Shas, the Rambam seems to understand that's kind of undershirt. Whatever it is, he had it with him all along, and now he's waiting, you have it in some of these courtroom dramas, where all of a sudden, basically, yeah. So he does that, then Hareza and Eklum, then that's nothing, because there it's, when he didn't know that he has Adam, he didn't know he has a Raya, is one thing. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, listen, the guy didn't know. He obviously knew in advance these guys can be Edim for him. He obviously knew in advance he has the shtar. He's holding it behind his belt, and he's keeping it for a moment that what he wants to make a drama over here in Basin. We have good reason to think that that it's a forged shtar or false Edim. Otherwise, he should have brought it up before.
Now it is different because you have a camera and an axe, let's say, and the witness says, no, this and this is false.
So it's one thing, for example, the guy says, let's say you have a car accident, and the two people are coming to Basin about it. So yeah, let's say, for example, Basin would say, so fine, do you have dash cam footage, for example? So the guy would say, I would have to go and look. Fine, let's let him go and look. But if he says, I don't know whether there was dash cam footage, let's say, and later on somebody comes and says, I was there, I saw the accident, I had, fine, because of the hate, that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel was saying, that we should accept such a thing. But if he's saying, if Basin says, where's the footage? And he says, I don't know, I don't have it. And then later on, as they're discussing, maybe figures he's going to win the case on other grounds. And then later on, when he sees he's losing, he says, actually, I do have it, here it is. Come on.
No, the reason you do it because you want to make the other guy lie and say, you start half like this, here's...
No, there's no reason to do that. Basin doesn't, that's not like, Basin is going to look at the actual evidence. They're not going to, that's what I'm saying. We're not talking about here, an episode of Law and Order or Lavdo or something, Okay, maybe that wasn't a good example because there he has it with him the whole, okay, whatever, I don't know, fine. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel in the Reisha, that even though that even after the deadline, he can still bring his raya. V'Omer Rav Bar Rav Huna, ein halacha k'divrei chachamim. Then Rav Bar Rav Huna also says, the halacha is not like a chachamim. Well, why does he have to repeat himself? Shita. Kiven de Omer halacha k'Reb Shimon Gamliel, memeli yadayin de ein halacha k'chamim. The answer is Ma'ud Tema, because without him saying both things, you might have thought, Hani Milo Chatzchila. Maybe Lachatzchila, we would say that to be soiser as a din, then we would say the halacha is like a shimming on the hill. Avod d'eved shaper jami, but no, but what it is in other words, if we say if we would say that lahatchila, we should say that we should say lahatchila. Then yes, we should listen to his new evidence and be so sedin. Abel di ebed, but if we didn't, if based and said, you know what, 30 days is 30 days, we decide like the chachamim, then we would say maybe shaper dummy, maybe it's fine as it is. We're not going to reopen the case after that. Kamash Malan, therefore Rabbi Barapona wants to tell us the e of it mahadrin and lay that no, if they do that, if they say it's after 30 days, tough luck. Then that's a blatant mistake, which we're going to learn in the next parak about mistakes that the dayanim made, and you do have to undo the case. So even though, in other words, so we're saying not just they gave him 30 days and he didn't bring it during the 30 days. Now, after the 30 days, he brings it. They say, you know what? Yeah, we know Rav Shimon Gamliel says you could bring it at this point. However, we don't hold like that. We hold like the Chachamim. That's why Rabbi Bar Avon has to stress, no, the Halacha is not like the Chachamim. Don't even think to do like them B'diyakad, yeah. Okay. Then you have the second case of the Mishnah where they tell him, bring your Edim or your Shtar, and he says, I don't have any, and later on he finds them. So we said the Chachamim say no good, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, listen, now he first found them. So here, Omer Rav Bar Avuna, Omer Rav Yechanan, Halacha Kedivri Chachamim. Here the Halacha is like the Chachamim. And again, he repeats, seemingly repeats, and says the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Well, again, the question is pshita. Given the omer halacha k'divrei chacham mele yadina, the ain halacha k'Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why does he have to repeat himself? Now, Rashi says here you can't say that it means like before, that if b'diyeved, because you know what? If he didn't say halacha like the chachamim, you would say, you know what? Listen, after all, the chachamim are the roiv, so b'diyeved they follow the chachamim and they told him, sorry, you can't reopen the case. Then we're not going to contradict them. But here we're talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Das Yochid. There's no reason that we would think, once we know the halacha is like a chachamim, that we should be able to say to the Beis Din, you know what, but after all, why don't you follow Rav Shimon Gamliel? He's a Das Yochid. So why does he need to mention that point? The answer is, Hokamash Malon Dibai, he ain't halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Bar Avuna wants you to know that in that particular case, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Namely, though, he would say that everywhere else in Shas, where Rav Shimon Gamliel says an opinion against the Chachamim, then the halacha would be like him, which would be la'apuki mehod amar Rabbi Bachana amar Rabbi Yechanan. Meaning, Rabbi Bar Avuna wants to tell you that he disagrees with what Rabbi Bar Avuna said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, which is that according to him, Rabbi Yechanan had said, Kol Mokam Shoshanan Rav Shimon Gamliel Mishnah Seinu, wherever Rav Shimon Gamliel says a halacha in the Mishnah, meaning in Mishnayas as opposed to Braises, halacha kemoise, the halacha is always like him, chut, with three exceptions. Ne'orev, a case of Orev that we had at the end of Bava Basra, where we were talking about collecting the debt from an Orev Kablon, where the loiva has Nechosim to pay, where there was so usually you have to go to the loiva first in Halacha. However, you can go, and you can't go to the Orev first. However, with an Orev Kablon, there was a Macholikas over there, whether you could go to him first, or whether you still have to go to the loiva first. So in that particular case, the Halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. With Sidon, and Sidon, which is a case involving a get that was given in the city of Sidon, where the husband gave the get, Amanas, that she gives him a particular piece of clothing of his, and the piece of clothing was unavailable, it got burned or whatever. So can she, is the get possible then, because the Tanai wasn't fulfilled, or Rav Shimon Gamliel says she can give him the value of it. And then the Tanai will be Niskayim. So in that, the Halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Or Raya Achrona, and the second case of Raya, which is our Mishnah, where we had two cases of Raya, where Rav Shimon Gamliel disagreed, where in the first one, the Halacha is like him, where there was a 30-day deadline, and he missed it, and the second one where they told him, bring your Edim or your Shtar, and he said, I don't have them in the first place. So Rav Yochanan, so Rabbi Baba Chana is saying the name of Rav Yochanan, that there were three cases in Mishnayos where the Halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and the second case of our Mishnah is one of them. Rav Huna is saying that no, here in this particular case, the second case of our Mishnah, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But in all the other cases, he says the halacha would be like him, meaning even the other two that Rabbi Yochanan listed. Huh. There is an expression that the Yerushalmi says about it. about Rav Shimon Gamliel, halachas ksuvis hayoyimim pi beis dinai, that when we're, most of the time when we have an opinion of Shimon Gamliel, means an actual, it means a psak halacha that was given out by his beis din in his name.
Ksuvis
means like settled, like literally ksuvis means cut. Like you have choisech es adin or gzar din or other words like that, where the word cutting is used for deciding a din exactly. So most of the time, it says, but generally he was saying halachas ketzuvos mipi beis dinai. So, in other words, so that would explain why the halacha is usually like him, because when we say Rav Shimon Gamliel, most of the time it doesn't mean only him, it means the other chachamim of his beis din who agreed to it as well. Derdus of Rishonim, a sefer on Jewish history, has a very interesting explanation of what happened over there. He says Rav Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi. We're talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel, the father of Rebbe, was the Nasi at a very difficult time for the Jewish people, not long after the war Bar Kokhba and the defeat and the killing of many, many Jews over there and the tremendous shmad that the Romans tried to impose, etc. So in Rav Shimon Gamliel's times, things have gone more back to normal. Nevertheless, the Romans were still extremely suspicious of the Nisim. In general, the Nisim come from Beis Dovid, and they always had the concern that the Jews are going to rally around him and declare him a king and so forth. So therefore, so most of the time, Rav Shimon Gamliel was forced to stay away from the other Chachamim so the Romans don't accuse them of colluding together. So what would happen when his Beis Din wants to issue a particular psak, they would discuss it among themselves, they'd come to a conclusion, they'd send it to him, and he would think it over as well, and say, yes, I agree with you, and then they would publish it in his name. So therefore, so we call it Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but really, it represents an opinion of the other Chachamim, who first deliberated among themselves, and then brought it to him for his decision. Okay, onward.
How do you look up?
There was a case of a child, the Tavu'ur Ladina Kameder of Nachman. Bali Choiv, people to whom his father owed money, took him to Beis Din. Now, it's not so simple to take the Yisoyimim to Beis Din in the first place. In fact, Tosfos brings, there are other Gemaras that say that you don't even deal with a case against Yisoyimim unless it's a matter of Ribis is going to be eating into their Nechassim. So let's say their father had previously borrowed money from a Goy, and the Goy is demanding interest over time, and therefore if we don't take care of the case right away, then the Yisoyimim are losing out. Ordinarily, we tell the Baal Choiv, come back when they're older. Rav Nachman apparently disagrees with that concept, says Tosfos. Anyway, Omele Islach Sadi. Rav Nachman asked him, do you have Edim? Omele Loi, and the boy says no. Islach Raya, do you have a Raya for what you're saying? Omele Loi. Chayve Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman had to declare him liable, and then have to give them whatever it is that they're claiming of him. Habakkuk Bochi Va'ozel. This boy left Beis Din, and he was crying and walking along. Now, by the way, you know, we would look at it and say, what, Rav Nachman doesn't have Rachmanis on the poor kid? Ein Rachman Badin. You have a concept. When it comes to a Din Torah, you don't have Rachmanis. The Torah specifically warns, don't have Rachmanis on the poor, don't have Rachmanis because you don't want to insult the rich, etc. The Din is a Din. You want to deal with it. You want to help him out. Outside of Beis Din, then fine, but you have to judge. You have to judge how it is.
I just cheated.
That's what Tosfos is saying. Tosfos is talking about. No, so Tosfos is saying that it's not cheating, but Tosfos says, after all, there was, first of all, when there's a shtar, then we can say it. So Tosfos discusses that, first of all, yeah, Rav Nachman apparently disagrees with the concept that we say that we don't deal with Yisoyimim unless there's Ribis involved. Rav Nachman himself says elsewhere that no, because there's another consideration against that. On the other hand, Yisoyimim have a mitzvah to pay off a choiv of their father, and if they don't, then really they deserve to follow him to where he went after 120, because how could they be taking something that doesn't belong to them? So therefore, Rav Nachman holds, we do have to deal with the case like that. Even though Ein Mekablin Edim Ela B'fnei Baal Din, a cotton is not considered Shaloi B'fonav, and they can accept the Aegis in his presence. And also Tosfos points out, there's another point as well, when do we say that here there was a shtar? The cotton didn't know of it, as we're going to go on to say in the story, but there was a shtar, so therefore, so we can, or maybe not even, the other guy, the Baal Choyv, had a shtar, we're talking about a loan, he had a shtar, so therefore, it's a matter of bringing the shtar to Beis Din, to be Mekoyim, that we could do even when the Baal Din is a cotton, for sure. Anyway, so the kid is going and crying. Shamu Hanach Inchi, some people heard what happened. Omrulay, they told him, Anan Yadin and Bemila Davuch, you know what, we know about your father's business, we know that you have a raya against these guys. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, Baha for the Rabbanan, Mardu. In this kind of case, even the Chachamim would agree, even though he said that it's not considered changing his mind, and it's not considered that we have to worry that these are false Edom or whatever, here, even the Chachamim would agree, you can't expect a kid to know all of his father's business, and therefore there is a high likelihood that he truly didn't know of these Edom, and now that they are a true Edom. Another case, the Gemara says, Ahi itza, the Nafak Shtara mitusa yada. And there was a woman who a shtar choiv was coming from under her hand, meaning she was a third party, she was a trusted third party, a shalish, where the loiva and the malva had given her the shtar for safekeeping. Omrele, she says, Yadaina b'hai shtar de priyahava. She says, invested into Rav Nachman, she says, I know that this shtar was paid off already. Haim the Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman accepted and believed what she said, and said, therefore, to the malva, you can't collect it.
Well, can we hear this?
No, but wait. Omalei over Rav Nachman, command to Rebbe. So who are you following? You're following the opinion of Rebbe, Dama Osius Nikmis Lemesira, where Rebbe says that you can give over. We learned about this extensively in Baba Basra and a couple of places, that Rebbe holds that to give it, to transfer ownership of a shtar from one person to another, the Osius, called Osius, because you're not transferring the paper of the shtar. What you're transferring is the choiv that's expressed in the shtar. That can be given over only by Mesira. It's enough to just give it over to the other person. You don't need another shtar to certify that you're you don't need to write another shtar to say I'm selling you this shtar or whatever. So the same way, in other words, it's considered she acquired that shtar by it being given to her for safekeeping. Therefore, she would have nemonos to say that it's paid off. It's not a matter of edus, it's a matter of nemonos.
Bring the paper.
That's fine. She's bringing the paper. She's saying you can see this paper. However, I'm telling you verbally that it's perua.
Using what's perua, it's.
No, you might write a shtar on it, not necessarily. Omalei, but Rav Nachman says, Shiny Hocha, the Boya Kalse. No, the difference is, here it was in her possession in the first place. If she didn't want it to be used, if she wanted to make the Malva lose, she could have easily burnt the Shtar. She could have burnt the Shtar. The fact that now, so therefore, in other words, in effect, it's like she has a Migri, kind of. So she can say, that's Perua, because she could have destroyed it altogether. Ikadamri, another version, Loihemna, Rav Nachman. Another version is that Rav Nachman did not accept what she said. And Rava asked, well, why? She could have burnt it. Why shouldn't we believe her with this migri? And the answer is, the answer is because we already have because once it was already muchzik and based in, once it says a henpik in this shtar, it already says that based in certified that this is a valid shtar, then at that point we don't say anymore that she could have burnt it because we have because we say ain't toyin an acha ma'isa beistin. A migri does not have the power to override a ma'isa beistin. You want to say that it's perua? You're gonna have to bring some external evidence. The fact that I had it in my possession and I could have burnt it is not strong enough to override once it already has a henpik in it. Sure. That's a point. One second. That's a point to Rashi that it has a henpik in it. Tosfos says what's the difference, henpik or not? Tosfos says no. It's chazik lebeidina means that beistin already previously saw it in her hand. So in other words, it's one thing if they never saw it in her hand, she could have burnt it and nobody would have been the wiser, and now therefore she comes to Basin and says it was paid off, they can relieve her. But when we already have independent evidence that she had this shtar in her possession, then already we're not going to say that she could have burnt it. Then we have to say that no, the fact remains, we know that it was in her possession, and therefore if she wants to now claim that it was paid off, she's going to need to bring other proof for that.
That it was paid off.
That it was paid off, yeah. So in other words, elsewhere, Tosfos explains that it means not just they saw the shtar in her hand, means what we have now would be a migur l'mafreya. She could have burnt it before Beis Din ever saw it in her hand. Well, there's no such thing as a migur l'mafreya. A migur is what she could have said now. So, yeah.
Said that out.
What?
Migur l'mafreya.
Migur l'mafreya, Tosfos mentions that in Ksuvos. Okay. Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, on the other hand, I have a contradiction to you from a braisa. A braisa says, we learned this in Bava Metzia, simpoin, sheyesh olav edim, a simpoin, the word simpoin in general means something that contradicts something else. For example, the word simpoin is sometimes used of a mum that makes it that you bought an eved or something and now you don't want that eved anymore because you find he has a mum that you don't like. Here, a simpoin means a shover, means a receipt saying that this debt was paid off. So the loiva has the simpon as it should. And it has edim. So now we have to validate the signatures as usual to make sure that it's genuine. That's according to Rashi that we're talking about, that the loiva has it in his possession. Tosfos says that actually no. If it's in the hand of the loiva, such a document is called a shover. When we're calling it simfon, it's actually in the hands of the malva, which is not where you would expect it to be. The malva shouldn't have the shover. The loiva should. So here we're talking about yiskayim b'choisim, meaning we ask the edim, meaning not yiskayim b'choisim as usually means that we validate whether the signatures are valid. Tosfos brings from the relevant Gemara in Bava Metzia, means we ask the edim themselves in Beis Din, oh, was this shtar in fact paid off or not? Did you sign on Shrover because the debt was already paid, or did you sign it because the malva wanted it in preparation for when the loiva pays the debt or something?
Question it, even though it's a shtar.
Well, one way or the other, when a shtar is brought to Beis Din, we always question it. We always have to see whether it might be forged or something. The first thing we have to do with a shtar is kiyum shtaris and a henpik, like we just said.
Even sign on something that didn't happen yet?
That's a question in itself. But the point is, in other words, let's say we still have to ask them whether, in fact, it was paid off or whether there's a different reason why they signed it. Continues.
What's the din here talking about in this case? Simpon. What's a simpon?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. A simpon is a shover. Rashi learns that the simpon is everything is on the up and up. It's where it's expected to be. The loiva has it in his possession. Nevertheless, let's say the malva is claiming, you didn't pay the debt. The shtar is forged. So fine, we bring it to Beis Din and validate the signatures as usual. And once we do, then the malva has no more case. Tosfos is saying that no, the shover is in the hands of the malva, which is why we call it by the unusual name simpon. So therefore, yiskayim b'choismav means we have to ask the Edim, was this debt in fact paid off or not? Anyway, continues the Braisa. Ein olav Edim, what if the simpon does not have Edim on it? V'yotz mitachas yedei shlish, instead it's in the hands of a third party, so the loiva doesn't have it in his possession, a third party has it. And they both agree that he was trusted to hold on to the shtar. Or if the simpon, if the shover is written after the signature is on the shtar itself, kosher, then it's kosher, because in the case where it's signed after the shtar, it's very easy to understand. The malva holds on to the shtar until the debt is paid off. He would never agree that something like that would be written underneath the shtar that was paid off, unless it truly was paid off. As far as where it's in the hands of the sholish, the pashtos, that means, says Rava, al sholish mehemon. So you see that the sholish is believed. Not like you're saying that she's not believed in the second version because it was ischazik the beidina. So the Gemara says Tziufta to Reb Nachman, so that's a contradiction on the second version of Reb Nachman Tziufta, so that is in fact a valid refutation, and therefore the halacha is not like the second version of Reb Nachman, but rather like the first version that the sholish can be believed. There is that nigger that she could have burnt it, but anyway, we're saying that a sholish is believed about such things.
Well, that means that even though the Beit knew about it,
it still could be
used as evidence.
Yeah.
It comes out of a different
context. Right. Okay, the Gemara continues. He also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omer Rav Yechanan, he said that Rav Yechanan had said, "La'olam mevi raya v'soiso ad shi'satem tanoisav." The Baal Din can always bring a proof and get the case rejudged until he closes up his tainus. So ad shi'satem tanoisav sounds like he's saying, "I have no more edim and I have no more raya." The Gemara is assuming actually statim tanoisav means that he says I have no edim and no raya, and then later on he says, like we've had in the Mishnah, that he says, you know what, Pliny and Pliny, you're standing here in the Beis Din, come on over and say edus on my behalf. It sounds like so it's actually statim tanoisav the omar, and he says the yomar, and he says kuvu Pliny or Pliny, but how you doing? Pliny and Pliny, come over here and give edus. So it sounds sort of on the face of it, Reb Dimi is saying that Reb Yechon is saying there need to be two things in order for us not to accept his edus. Number one, that he said I have no more edim, and number two, that he's calling them over right there in Beis Din. So the Gemara says, "How go for kasha?" Well, you seem to have a contradiction in what Reb Yechanan is saying. Yistak botan noisav means that he says, "I have no more edim." That means even if he found them outside Beis Din, then we wouldn't accept them, like the Chachamim. But then we're saying he'd only not accept them when he says in the Beis Din shtivel, come over here, implying he knew of them all along. That would be like Reb Shimon Gamliel. So what does Reb Yechanan hold? You're saying that once he says I have no more edim, then at that point we don't accept any further edim that he brings after that. Asan l'rabbanan, that would be like the rabbanan, as opposed to Reb Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah. But listen, he didn't know he had edim, and now he discovers he has. V'hoder amik kiruv ish plenu plenu v'hayiduni. Then he's saying that. Then Rabbi Yochanan is saying that when do we not accept his edim? Only when he says, "Hey, you and you, come over here in the Beis Din shtibul in the audience and give edus on my behalf." Where there we have every reason to think that that he's colluding with them in advance to do false edus over there. Otherwise, why did he say such a thing in the first place? And Rabbi Yochanan is saying only then do we not accept him. Asa on the Rabbi Gamliel. Well, that goes now according to the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. You're going to say that maybe Rabbi Yochanan's entire statement is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Purushi kamafarish, you should say that maybe Rabbi Yochanan is clarifying what he meant. My Abshi statim tanoisav, what does he mean by the words Abshi statim tanoisav? Not just that he says, I have no more edim, but where he says, I don't have any edim, but where he actually says, that he, in other words, it's not just enough that he says that I don't have any edim. Then we would say, fine, if you find edim later on, Rav Shimon Gamliel will accept them. But we're saying even Rav Shimon Gamliel won't accept when he knows about them all along, and it's clear because now he says, hey, come over here and give edus. So you're going to say that's what Rav Yochanan means, maybe. He means, Abshi Yistatim Tanoisev. And how do we find Yistatim Tanoisev when he tries to play a trick like that in Beis Din? The problem with that is, we said on Amar Aleph that Rabbi Baba Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that wherever Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says a halacha in Mishnayos, halacha kamosid, halacha is like, always like him, chus me'or v'tzayden v'ray achroin, except for the three cases that we talked about on Amar Aleph. So how can Rabbi Dimi now say that that Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the second case of our Mishnah, when Rabbi Baba Chana says that he did, that he obviously did? Now, the obvious question is, the Gemara has many times brought the point, gavra agavra karamis, what are you bringing, you bring a contradiction from one amora on another, they can hold different ways, so why doesn't the Gemara say very simply that Rav Dimi had a different version of what Rav Yochanan said, and that he does say that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and yeah. So the Sanhedrin kind of actually says that fine, the Gemara is not saying that we can't accept what Rav Dimi is saying. It's saying we can't accept it, not because he's disagreeing with Rabbi Baba Chana, but because we know that what Rabbi Baba Chana is accepted as halacha, so therefore now Rav Dimi's statement clearly contradicts that. So it's not that we have a problem, it's not that we're saying Rav Dimi doesn't know what he's talking about, but we're saying the fact is, la halacha, we accept Rabbi Baba Chana's version of what Rav Yochanan says, therefore we can't accept Rav Dimi's version of it. The Aruch HaNer gives a different answer. He says it's one thing, though, that Rashi makes this point in a couple of places in Shas, and Amoda might make a mistake about what he heard. He might construe what the Amoda said differently than what he actually meant. But he's not going to make up something out of whole cloth. Rav Dimi is quoting something in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, which clearly contradicts something that Rabbi Baba Chana quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. We're not going to assume that they're doing that. We can't assume that one of them is really grossly mistaken about what Rabbi Yochanan said, and we're not going to do that. So Ella, he also of Shmuel by Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So when Rabbi Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rabbi Yochanan. No, what Rabbi Yochanan meant was La'olam Mevi Raya V'Sosa Abshi Statim Tanoisav. He can always bring a Raya and get the case rejudged until his tainus are closed up, namely, v'yoymru loy hove edim, namely, they tell him, bring edim, v'oymer ainli edim, and he says, I don't have any edim, hove raya, they tell him, bring a raya, v'omer ainli raya, v'oymer ainli raya, aval, but, Rabbi Yochanan continues, bo edim in medina seyam, if edim come from a faraway country, where he couldn't have known that they were available, or the disakia of the father, of his father, where disakia is a kind of a leather bag, Rashi describes. Disakia is actually a prefix, and is a Gemara prefix meaning two. No, it's actually a Greek prefix meaning two. You have it in a number of places. In Shas, we have words with di or diu, which means two. So disakia means a double bag. So as the people would keep their shtaris in it. So if his father's disakia, his father's files, mufkedes biadacher, are entrusted to somebody else, and he didn't know what was in there, hadei the maybe raya v'sosa, that he could bring a raya and undo it. So therefore, so the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. We don't have to contradict what Rav Avachana says. However, even the chachamim are going to agree in cases like that, where it comes from a dinas yam, where he didn't know what was in his father's papers, and like we had on Amud Aleph, where Yosim doesn't always know what's going on with his father's affairs, then even the chachamim agree that even after he said, I have no raya or no edim, he can still bring them after all.
But is that against Rav Shimon Gamliel?
It's not against it. Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold that he could bring them in all cases, unless he says, Kiruv plenty or plenty of Oiduni. The Chum say that generally not, because we say, he already said, I have no edim and I have no raya. Okay. But in cases like this, Rav Yechon is saying, even the Chachamim would agree. Another din, not directly related to the above, ki osir abdini amar Rabbi Yochanan hatoikef es chaver abadin. If one person is being harsh against the other one in a din Torah. So you have, Rashi describes, you have a baal din kosher, you know, we say every day in davening, that Hashem should save us, with baal din kosher. A baal din kosher would be a baal din who's the type, he's demanding his way, and he's going to cause trouble if he doesn't, or whatever, and he's demanding that so he's matriach, the other guy. So now the other guy wants to go and have the din Torah judged in another place, because he figures, you know what, this guy is a tough character. He's likely in a local based in, for example, he might figure he can get away with lying or doing whatever. So let's go to a different based in out of town where he won't have his ability to have such break tight with them. So shnayim so hatokef chaver b'din echad omer nodrun kan. So the tough customer says, let's just judge the din Torah over here, because he knows, let's say, that the local dayanim are that he can get away with being mechutzef to the local dayanim, for example. The echad omer neilach l'makom avad, and the other one says we have to go to the makom avad, to the place where the greater beis din is. Koyfinos to v'yelach l'makom avad, then we can force him to go to the beis avad, to the makom avad. Omelafon of Rabbi Lazar, but Rabbi Lazar says to Rabbi Yochanan, Rebbe, Mishin Noshe b'chaver d'mana. So imagine, for example, that he's saying that he owes him a mana, and now it costs to travel to another place. Yotzi mana al mana. Should we make him spend a mana in order to collect a mana? What would be the point? Ella koyfenos v'dun v'irei. Rather, Rabbi Lazar says, we're going to force him to actually judge the din Torah in town. So it's going to have to be in town. And as far as this baal din kosher, the local based din will have to deal with that. But we can't force them to travel to someplace else. After all, this baal din kosher, he may have the right of it in the case, after all. And you can't make him spend so much expenses just to collect the debt that he says he's owed. Tosfos points out, by the way, over here, a point that when a person is chayav b'din, he doesn't necessarily pay the expenses. L'havdil, in the goyish court, sometimes you have the loser of a case has to pay the court expenses of the winner. Tosfos says, apparently here we see that not, because otherwise, what do you mean? He's spending a mana to collect the mana, and if he wins the case, he's getting that mana that he spent for the travel reimbursed. So therefore, we have to say that he's not entitled to that reimbursement.
What did you say?
We're saying that Reuven says to Shimon, listen, you owe me $100, we need to go to Beis Din. So Shimon denies it or whatever, so they have to go to Beis Din. Reuven is saying, so fine, let's get the case judged over here in town. Shimon says, no, listen, you're a baal din kosher, I don't want to have to deal with you here in town, let's go to the Beis Avad. So Rav Yochanan had said that we forced them to do that. Rav Elazar says, listen, and it comes out, after all, maybe Reuven, as much as he's a baal din kosher, he's not a nice guy, but he is owed that $100. If you're going to make him spend $100 on travel expenses to the other town, then what's the point? So rather, no, it has to be judged in town. Tosfos is saying, if we were to say that Shimon, if he loses the case, has to reimburse Reuven for his travel expenses, then Rav Elazar wouldn't be making that point. Because one way or the other, he's getting back his $100 that he says he's owed. Whether he gets the $100 that he says he's owed, fine. But he'd also, if he wins the case, he's also getting reimbursed for the $100 that he spent traveling over there. And the fact that we're not saying that implies, says Tosfos, that he's not required to pay those kinds of expenses. Yeah. Itmar Nami, they said also Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shnayim Shnis Atzmu Badin, when two people are powerful one another against one another in judgment. So Atokef Es Chaver Badin means one of them is a Baal Din Kosher and the other one is not. Nis Atzmu means, Rashi says, they both become kosher to one another. Now they're really at loggerheads. So the same thing. Echodem and Nodrim can for Echodem and Nelech Lamakam Avad. Kofi knows they've done be Iroi. Then, like Rabbi Loza says, we force them to judge the case in town. The Imhutzrach Dover Lishol. If the local Beis Din has to ask because they're not sure about a halacha, Kofi Nishoch, and then find they write a letter to a greater Beis Din wherever it is, and they ask them. The Imoma Kisvut Nuli Me'ezah Tam Dantuni. What if the loser in the case says, you know what, I want you, local Beis Din, to write me out a shtar that explains the psak din. On what grounds did you judge me? Because he figures this way he can use it in case he's going to send it to a greater Beis Din and they can evaluate and see, did the local Beis Din make a mistake? So Koisman Renoisin, like, then they do write and they give it to him. Because, yeah, you have to give him that. So at least that he should have the ability to appeal in case he finds that there's no concept in halacha, by the way, of appeals like the way you have in the Goyish court system, where you can appeal just because you didn't like the verdict. The only case where you can appeal is something like this, where there's evidence that the first Beis Din made a mistake or didn't consider some evidence or something like that.
Where is there evidence?
We're saying that he writes, they write out Mehechem Dantuni. On what grounds did you judge me? Now he can take that letter to a greater Beis Din and they can say, you know what, looking it over, it's true that Beis Din made a mistake. They should have considered such and such. And the Braisa continues, or not the Braisa, the Safra continues, Vayuvama Hilechas Achra Yavam, the Yavama has to follow the Yavam. To make her mutter to be choilitz for her. So in other words, you can't force the yavam to go to her to where she is. It has to be that she's willing to travel to where the yavam is, because what he's doing for her is going to make her mutter to get married. But you want to ask ad kama, how far does she have to travel? Amarabami, I feel him at Tveria Tzipori. Even for example, from Tveria to Tzipori, even now, the Tveria and Tzipori are not that far apart. But the point is, even though there's many more people in Tveria, we're not going to say that he has to come to her. Where is the pasuk express that point? The pasuk says, "V'kodu lo zikne iroi." The pasuk says, "The zkenim of his city should call him into Beis Din for the chalitza." V'lo zikne iroi, implying not the members of the Beis Din of her town. Amemer says, no, not like we've been saying all along. No, the halacha is that he's going to be forced to go to the Makom Avad. They do have to go to the greater Beis Din if one of them demands it. So Rav Ashi asked Amemer, didn't Rav Elazar say that we force him to judge in his town? And the answer is, if the loiver is the original Baal Din Kosher, and he's the one insisting we should go out of town, then we don't do that. But if the malva insists that we go out of town, then as the passage says, Eved loiver, the ish malva, the loiver is a slave to the malva, meaning in other words, he's subject to him. About in this kind of thing, where what the venue is going to be for the Din Torah, the malva has the upper hand in that matter. So if the loiva says we should go to the Makom Avad, then we say that no, you have to do it over here. Why should I, the malva, have to spend the money in order to collect the money, like we said before? But where the malva is saying we should go elsewhere, where the malva is willing to spend that money on the travel, because he figures that the local Beis Din may not know the halacha and they may wrongly judge against him, and he wants to go to the Makom Avad, there we say Eved loiva leish malva. So there is an explanation that we were talking about Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar before. On the face of it, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar would be disagreeing, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying that we go to the Makom Avad and Rabbi Elazar was saying that you go Be'iroi. Rabbi Hananel says that they're not necessarily arguing with one another. Even that also, Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Elazar are talking about the Loiva versus the Malva, like the Gemara is saying over here regarding Amema versus Rabbi Elazar. On the other hand, Rashi seems to be explaining not like that, and there's some discussion about why Rashi learns that way rather than just learning more straightforwardly like Rabbeinu Hanan. The Marshal discusses that point, and he says that because in the case where we're saying they want to go to the Makom Avad, because Rashi is understanding exactly that we're talking about, that he figures right now the Malva is a Baal Din Kosher, and outside or out of town he might not be so kosher. But again, we're saying over here there can also be a distinction between who is demanding at the Malva or the Loiva. Well, speaking of such a case where a person was where a person was made to go to a Beis Din out of town, the Gemara says, Shochulei lema'ukva, the Beis Din of Tveria. Now one point is also that we were saying just now that Tveria is the main Makom Avad. It was the place of the greatest Beis Din of those times in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, we said if the Yavam lives in Sipori and the Yavama lives in Tveria, we can't force the Yavam to go to Sipori. No matter what, it doesn't matter actually. Regardless, she has to always go to where the Yavam is, even if it's in Sipori, where the lesser Beis Din is located. So here the Gemara is going to bring an example to show how the greatest Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael in those times was in Tveria. The Gemara says, Shochulei lema'ukva. The Chachamim of Tveria sent the following message to Ma'ukva, who was the Av Beis Din in Bavel. They addressed him, L'dizivlei kebar Basya, addressed to the one who glows, who has a shine like the son of Basya. The son of Basya is Moshe Rabbeinu, like in our parasha, where Basya saves him. Bas Pare saves him. Now, and we know Moshe's face shone. So they were addressing him like that. Rashi brings like this. Rashi brings from a Sefer Haggadah that Ma'ukva over here was a Baal Teshuva. One time he had a particular desire for a woman who was an Eches Ish. He even got sick from it. Then eventually it happened that she needed to borrow money from him. Now, she was even willing, she was in such desperate straits, that she was willing to be mezana with him if that's what it takes to get the loan. And he held himself back, despite the fact that he had that tremendous taiva for her to the point where he had gotten sick, and he didn't do any. He didn't do such a thing. So therefore, from then on, there was always a himmeldicke light over his head whenever he would go out in the street. So therefore now, the Chacham and Tveria are addressing him as the one who shines like Bar Basya, like Moshe Rabbeinu, the son of Basya. Rashi brings another explanation. The word is not Bastia, but rather Bisya, or rather Beise, rather, which means Beise means his house. Moshe is Behol Beise, Naman who, and therefore the Bar Beise means the one who is, so to speak, a member of Hashem's household, namely Moshe Rabbeinu. Anyway, so they're addressing Ma'ukva with this title. They say, Shlom, peace. We want to tell you the following case. Ukvan Abavli Kovel Kadmona. Ukvan, and that was the man's name, from Bavel, was here in Eretz Yisrael, and he complained in front of us, Yirmiya Ochi Heber Elias Haderech. My brother Yirmiya made the road pass over me. Now, what does that mean? Rashi has two explanations. One is it means that he took away from me Derech Bnei Adam. So Rashi says, Shesirsoi, that he castrated him. So this Ukvan is complaining that his brother Yirmiya had injured him and caused him, and now he's unable to have children. Rashi's second explanation, Hever Elias HaDerech, just means Loi Nogimi Kashura. He didn't act to me in a Derech Eretzik way like you would do in Dinim Mominus. So according to the first version, he's complaining, well, in both cases it might be Dinim Mominus. In the one case it would be an injury, and in the second case he's just saying he did something else wrong to me, but it doesn't specify what. Marsha says a possibility within that. Hever Elias HaDerech can mean literally to make the road cross through me, namely in Bava Basra it talks about where two people, where for example, two Yoshim inherit a field from their father, and Me'ikr Adin, neither one is entitled to a path through the other one's field. So the one who gets the field further away from the road, if he wants a path to go to his field, he's going to have to arrange with the other one, he's going to have to pay him, or somehow get him to agree to give him a path. So now what we're saying is that Ukvan is complaining that Yirmiya didn't do that, he blazed a path through my field without me giving permission. So the Beis Din in Tveria is sending a message to Ma'ukva in Bavel, v'omruloi, so they said to him, Hashi'uhu, convince him, meaning force him, v'yira panenu b'Tveria, and he should see us in Tveria, and we're going to judge the case over here. So in other words, tell Yirmiya, if you're going to have to come, we're summoning you to the Beis Din in Tveria, and you're going to have to work things out with your brother Ukvan. So the Gemara asked Hogufa Kasha. Well, there seems to be a contradiction within what the Beis Din is saying. Amrit Imruloi, they're saying, say to him, Alma Daine Atun, Dainua Atun, which means that they're sending the message to Ma'ukva to tell him, you, the Av Beis Din in Bavel, you should judge him. And then they say, Ashi'u, Yira Panenim in Tveria. Then they're saying, make him come and see us in Tveria. Alma Shadru Hocha, which means they're saying, send him to us in Tveria. So what are they saying? No, what they mean to say is like this. Imrulei, tell Yirmiya that he should figure out something, he should make up with Ukvan, meaning dainu atzon. First, you should judge the case. Eat Sayas, if he listens and agrees to follow your Psaptian Sayas, then good, then you can stop right there, you don't need to go any further than that. the Eloi, but if not, if he refuses to follow your Pesachdin, Hashiyuv, Yerupanenu B'Tveria, then force him to come see us in Tveria. Tosfos explains that Itzayas doesn't mean, Lloyd Sayas doesn't mean that you can't, doesn't mean that you can't force him. Because then if the Bote Din and Bavel are not going to be able to force him to follow the Pesachdin, the ones in Eretz Yisrael surely won't be able to. We learned in the first Perek, the ones in Bavel had greater powers given to them by the government. But rather it means, for example, Lloyd Sayas, Tosfos says, means that he says, I don't hold that you in Bavel should be judging me. I insist on going to the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, who are greater to my Chachamim. Then they say, fine, then send him to us in Tveria. Rav Ashi gives another answer. Dine Knosses Haba. What we're dealing over here with, it wasn't a case of Mammon, it was a case of Knas. For example, Choyva B'Chaveri, where a number of the payments over there are Knas. So in Bubble, they don't judge Dinik Knossos in the first place because they don't have Smicha. The reason why they sent a message to Ma'ukva, which implies that he could judge the case, and only if not, then they should send him to Tveria, is only to delach covered la Ma'ukva, in order to show covered to Ma'ukva, in other words, because they're saying you're so distinguished, you shine like Moshe Rabbeinu, but really you should know, you don't have the samchus to judge this case, therefore send him to us in Tveria. However, they're writing it in a way that makes it sound as though they're first giving him the opportunity to judge the case where they know full well that he won't, because he knows that there's no dinik knossos involved. Hadron Allah Zebor.
The class about the